Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. As we talk about on giving, on prayer, and on fasting tonight, when your halo is to God, amen. I thank God as we focus on Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. I thank God when we look at that, it tells us, it says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. And verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, tells us, it says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow, listen, a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. If there is anything, the word halo's not in the Bible, but if there was a way that you would be able to compare halo, would be out of Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, where it talks about the angel that came down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow that was upon his head. And I thank God, as we look at this, every one of us, when we look at how a halo is, many of us, as we go through life today, we suspect that certain individuals have their religion on parade. They say that they're wearing their halos too tight when that happens. A halo has to fall only a few inches to become a noose. I want you to remember that. A halo only has to fall a few inches to become a noose. And so there's a lot of folks out there today that definitely are wearing their halos too tight, amen. And so I thank God when we look at the meaning of a halo in references that it talks about, we begin to look and it talks to us and it tells us that it's expressed in the language of a bow or of a light or a curve of light or even a ribbon of light. And so the meaning of a halo is usually expressed as a circle of light or a wreath of light or a band of light that takes place. And so when your halo is too tight, all kinds of complications begin to set in. When your hat is too tight, you get a headache. But when your halo is too tight, you give other people a headache. You know? And so you turn them off by distasteful Christianity, and Christ becomes unattractive. There's many of folks out there that it's all about religion with them, and it's a face to America today. The old slogan for advertising in industry is running a business basically without advertising is like winking at a girl in the dark. You know what you've done, but she doesn't. And so the slogan is true. It pays to advertise. Advertisements, empty attics and garages of dust, collections and lined pockets with money. They stimulate sales. They increase profits. And there's some things, however, that advertising kills. And one of them is humility. Advertise it and it becomes pride. Another selfishness of advertising it, it becomes egotism. Advertise spirituality and it becomes hypocrisy. I remember when Brother Bob Carroll and I in 2008 was in Israel. And when we were out there, we had this big old Russian hat. Man, them things are like a fur. And he had his little kid in his hand. He was coming down. We was at the Wailing Wall. And he came down through there and knocked us right out of the way like we were nobody, man. Because, hey, that was his place of worship that he came to on the Wailing Wall. Who were we bunch of, I guess you'd say, Christians or Gentiles to get in his way, amen? Boy, I'm going to tell you, he had a lot of pride about it. He had a lot of advertisement going on with that big old hat that probably cost about $5,000. That was on his head. Not that I'm making fun of anybody, but I'm telling you, selfishness is when we advertise spirituality, it becomes hypocrisy. Jesus spoke out against wearing our halos too tight. He warned of three areas to avoid of any demonstration of having our halos on too tight, amen. Because to advertise our spirituality is to destroy it. And so when you wear your halo too tight, Jesus warned of three areas. One, your halo is too tight when you do good deeds to attract attention. There's people out there in America today that just want to attract attention. There's television evangelists that want to attract attention with everything they do instead of getting off in their prayer closets and doing things without making all of the excitement upon themselves. We're not to draw attention to ourselves, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, when we look, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. I'm glad that our halos are on too tight when we do these things, amen. And so when we give something to the needy, when we provide for those that are in need, that are lacking, amen, this is what he tells us to do. We do it in private, amen. Jesus assumed that we would work and we'd not that he wouldn't warn us against idleness, amen. He took our good deeds for granted sometimes in no way of advocating the secret discipleship. And so he was warning us against our wrong motives, amen, against doing our good deeds to attract attention to ourselves, amen. T.S. Eliot said in the book Murder in the Cathedral, said, the last temptation is the greatest treason, to do the right deed for the wrong reason, unquote. But on the surface, it might appear that this teaching conflicts with Jesus' teaching, because in Matthew 5:16, that he tells us that we should do our work and live in such a way as to let our light shine before others. In reality, the conflict is only surface. Every born-again Christian out there today, you've got a halo that somebody ought to be able to see it, because you have the indwelling Holy Spirit that's in your life. Just as beautiful as all of these flowers that are around me here, whether you can see them or not, amen. In reality, the conflict is only surface. When Jesus admonished us to let our light shine, it was for the purpose that we would glorify God and lead others to become his followers, amen. And so, but now he dealt with the practice of individuals putting their piety selves on parade, the result of a religion that is to glorify oneself and not God. It's all about giving glory and honor to Jesus Christ. But in Matthew 6:2, when Jesus said that they will have their reward, he used a word from the business world, amen. This word, it signifies that the settlement of an account here. He was saying that when we do our deeds before others and receive their applause, that our transaction has resulted in our deeds being paid for by the attention from others. And so the generous giver is called generous, and thus, listen, his other account is paid in full and closed, but those who do good deeds for the praise of others have received their reward by being acclaimed truly spiritual people. They've received what they really want, and all that they will ever get is that recognition from somebody else. Maybe you see somebody on Facebook, and all the time what they're doing is they're so naive and so insecure that they're constantly putting something about themselves on that Facebook. But I thank God, here we receive what we really want, and all that we ever get is that recognition. And here is the many people that Christ is talking about teaching on giving, amen. When we do good deeds, not to call attention to ourselves, but as an expression of our love of God, we are following the precepts of Christ, amen. To do good deeds for any other reason is to destroy the blessing and the joy of having done them. And that happens when your halo is too tight, amen. And so I thank God. The second reason when your halo is too tight is not only that you do virtuous deeds to attract attention in verses 1 through 4, but I'm going to tell you, your halo is too tight when you pray to impress others. In verses 5 all the way down to verse 15, here, in my humble opinion, perhaps the greatest need in the church today is for more prayers. Amen? But before this is over with, I want to tell you how to really get a prayer through. When, you know what, you say, I'll just pick up the phone, call my pastor, and he'll get a prayer through. Well, I'm going to tell you, what's the really most powerful secret about getting a prayer through? First of all, is having a clean life and living a life of righteousness. But there's even more to it than that. And I'm going to share that with you as I close in just a few minutes of how you can do that. if you'll just listen. But in my humble opinion, I thank God, the greatest need in the church is more and more and more prayers. We need more prayer warriors, amen. We need more believers who will devote themselves, amen, to a time of seeking the Lord's face in prayer. And here, when we look at verse 5, all the way down to verse 15, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray," listen, "when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, the physical needs. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The forgiveness and the protection that he's talking about. He goes on in verse 14. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That is one of the most powerful and the most important things. Amen. Today, I told the story this morning, and I thank God we had a wonderful time at church with Heaven Bound that came all the way from Kentucky. They began to sing the most wonderful, powerful worship service this morning at People's Valley. We had a great time as we was closing out. I told them the story about the lumberjacks. There was an older one and there was a younger one. Both of them were known for their expertise and their speed. The younger challenged the older to a contest to see who could cut down the most trees in one day. And so the contest began. The younger man, with his vigor and vitality, he began earnestly, chopping down one tree after another without stopping. He soon noticed that the older lumberjacks chopped trees for 1 hour, and then he took a 15-minute break. At the end of the day, when all of the felled trees were counted and the older lumberjack had chopped down one-third more trees than the younger lumberjack, all of a sudden, chopping down one tree after another, amen. I thank God. But at the end of the day, when he felled the trees and they were counted, the older lumberjack had chopped down one-third more trees than the younger one. Puzzled, that younger lumberjack asked the older, "How could you take a break more times than me, and I cut nonstop all day and out-chop and out-cut me?" And so the older lumberjack responded, "Because when I stop, I sharpen my axe." You see, a lot of us are just like that. We spend a lot of our time chopping away in the Lord's work and doing this and doing that and never accomplishing much for him, because all the time we're simply using a dull axe. We're busybodies. But if we do not take the time to pray, we can never expect God, listen, to enjoy God's power on our lives. We need him to bless our efforts and everything that we do. And so I thank God we've got to take time. John Bunyan said in his book, "He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him in the rest of the day." And so every one of us, as we look and realize that every day in our life, in truth, it's often easier to get Christians to do almost anything than it is to get them to pray. That's a shame today, because prayer is one of the most powerful things that brings us into God's awesome presence. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly under the grace or the throne of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to him, to help in a time of need." And so we need that time spent with him, because it is God who answers prayer, praise God. It is God who changes circumstances and touches lives, amen. It is that special time that is spent in prayer before God that makes all of the difference in the world between greatness in a Christian's life today, amen. Something dies within us and within our prayer life whenever we advertise it. To aid us in keeping our prayer life alive and vibrant, Jesus issued a plea, and he offered a pattern, and he made a promise, amen. Here was that plea that he tells us about, amen. That he says, and when thou prayest, he tells us. In verse 5 it starts out. But then he goes on in verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest. Every time that he said each one of these, he said it with a plea. Verses 5, 6, and 7. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrite. They love to stand up and pray, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, when we go through life today, that he's telling us all of these things about prayer. We have a plea that we should not pray like the hypocrites do. Our prayers are to be a sincere matter between ourselves and God. We're not to get lost in needless verbiage of trying to do this and saying all of these mighty things. But I thank God, each and every one of us, even from the practices, the days of Ezra, the prayer life of Israel had become increasingly a mechanical and a routine thing. Jesus contended that our halo is too tight when we pray to impress others. And so the specified hour of prayer might overtake a person anywhere. Hypocrites were quite pleased if it caught them in a public place. In fact, they often took great care to arrange it in that situation. But Jesus said in verse 5, he said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, Jesus was not condemning public prayer. But I tell you, I thank God, each and every one of us, his disciples followed the same practice. Jesus was asking us to direct our prayer to God instead of the galleries. And in our public prayer, it's so directed that it'll be a private prayer that we might offer in the quietness of our home, amen. Jesus asked that we'd not think of our many repetitions that we use a lot of times. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need even before we ask. We may liken God to a large reservoir filled with water, amen. Our prayers do not place water in the reservoir. They only open the gates and allow the water to flow out, amen. Prayer is something that never is never overcoming God's reluctance, but rather it is laying hold of his willingness, amen. And so I thank God we see the plea in verses 5 through 8, amen. But we see a pattern in verses 8 through 13. Because he tells us in verses 8 through 10, he says, Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he goes on through the Lord's Prayer, amen, telling us and saying it to us, amen, and letting us know that this is an example of the Lord's Prayer, amen. Each and every one of us that we go through life today, Jesus gives us several things, amen, that it's through prayer that here we have a promise of success, amen, that he'll bless us. When we pray, we got to believe God for that answer, amen. I thank God. We got to just keep knocking as he says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 5, amen. Proper prayer is an act of faith, and we must believe that I thank God that we shall receive it, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we go through life. You know, I remember reading, I've used this before, there was a small town that had been dry, according to drinking, for a long time. And then a local businessman, he decided to build a tavern in that dry county. And a group of Christians, they from a local church, they were concerned, and they planned an all-night prayer vigil, asking God to intervene, amen. It just so happened that shortly thereafter that lightning struck that bar and it burned it to the ground. And the owner of the bar sued the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible. But the church hired a lawyer to argue in court that they were not responsible. And the presiding judge, after his initial review of the entire case, stated that no matter how this case comes out, one thing is crystal clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer, and the Christians do not. And you know, Jesus gives us several arenas where God has promised to respond to our answer in prayer, praise God. And so I thank God, through pacific prayer, that each and every one of us, man, I thank God when each and every one of us goes through life today to be able to realize that it's through simple prayer that we're able to accomplish. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I thank God every one of us have a great blessing to know that we have the power of prayer that God can give us. Amen. And so every one of us, as we look and realize, prayer is simple enough to be understood by a child and yet profound enough to express the heart's desire of the most mature out there today. On one hand, the prayer is that personal enough to be prayed in private, and on the other hand, public enough to be prayed by an entire congregation in a worship service. Amen. Jesus certainly had no intention of stifling spontaneous prayers when he said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, in verse 9. The prayer pattern is not designed as a straitjacket, but as a stimulant to meaningful prayer. Jesus used his favorite term for God when he admonished us to call God as our Father. And I thank God this expression speaks of the direct access of the that we have of our Father in heaven. I thank God if we begin to have a little talk with Jesus, amen. And in this prayer, spoken of our Father as one who abides in heaven. And so in advocate, it opens the way for a request that that we follow when we start out in the time of prayer, wherever we are, amen. That first petition of prayer is an expression of adoration. Hallowed be thy name, amen. To hallow God's name is to hold God's name in respect and reverence, amen. The reign of God is expressed in the words, thy kingdom come. The very real sense that God's reign has already begun, but his consummation awaits the future. And as disciples, you and I out there tonight, as Christians, amen, we are to wait and we're to pray. The kingdom of God is both a future promise and a present possession. It's open for business right here, right now, and people can enter it right here. But it is our responsibility to work with God and bring it about the realization of his kingdom, amen. And so we come to pray, thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven, Jesus directed his attention from the future to the present in the second half of the prayer, amen. And he said that we should pray, give us this day our daily prayer. It is true that when a person does not live by bread alone, but it is equally true that without bread, he or she does not live at all. And so Jesus is clearly saying that God is vitally interested in our physical needs. And when we go hungry, God cares. Our present need is also characterized by the requirement for daily forgiveness, amen. Thus, we're to request that our Heavenly Father will forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Both sin and hunger are daily occurrences of all of life. You know, back in the days when they planted fields and crops and went hunting, they didn't have another meal they could put in the refrigerator. And it was from one thing to the next, to plant crops, to go hunting, and to have food to put on the table. But now, all we got to do is go down and reach in the refrigerator, and boy, voila, we got food there. But I tell you, sin and hunger are daily occurrences. And I'm going to tell you the request of every one of us that we have of knowing that God's forgiveness, sometimes the things that people do out there, they close the door to God's forgiveness because they don't forgive others, but yet they want God to forgive them. Temptation is an ever-present problem in the Christian's life. And our request is that God will lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. The very natural human aversion to difficult encounters expresses in prayer as well as a cry for help. When we have such encounters that comes our way, amen, God, I need you to come through for me. Lord, we pray that God will spare us the trials and the tests as our faith goes through them a lot of times. And such trials that come, we pray that he will give us the ability to live through those victoriously. Amen. But I thank God we see the plea in verses 5 through 8, the pattern in verses 8 through 13, but he gives us a promise in verses 14 and 15. He says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Here is a promise that he gives to every one of us, amen. Alone, as he looks back up to verse 6
again. Because back up at verse 6, it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I'm glad that God wants to give us the very best. And so I thank God as we look and realize just how God will reward our secret prayers. We don't know a lot of times. There's been a many of prayers as brother, as our brother in Christ this morning, amen, began to tell us about how that there's been many of prayers. Brother Brown, Matthew Brown said this morning, how many prayers that we prayed that we didn't answer. And sometimes we're glad the Lord didn't answer because we wouldn't have grown in our faith. And plus, we wouldn't have learned what we've learned about maturing now if God just gives us everything that we ask for. But He already knows what we need before we ask Him. And so I thank God that we can be most assured that God knows before we ask. Jesus completed the pattern of prayer. He felt it necessary to go back and extract one of the petitions and give it special attention as we forgive our debtors. Refusing to forgive others is detrimental to the person who refuses to grant such forgiveness themselves. Amen. Unforgiveness can wreck a personal health, destroy our sense of well-being, spoil our relation to other people, build a barrier between us and God. And the person that does not forgive thinks more of grudges than grace and more of halos than holiness. Your halo is too tight when your prayers are about impressing others that there's no room for giving those who have offended you. And so what have I said as I get ready to close? When your halo is too tight, Jesus was warning them of the three areas where our halos are just way too tight. Your halo's too tight when you do virtuous deeds to attract attention in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Your halo's too tight when you pray to impress others in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. Lastly, your halo is too tight when you fast to appear spiritual in verses 16, 17, and 18 of Matthew chapter 6, amen. He says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, wash thy face, that thou appearest not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I'm glad each and every one of us, as we go through life today and begin to realize, just like advertising, the prayers we offer and the good deeds we do, advertising our fasting destroys whatever blessings that it might bring. It appears that the fasting in Jesus' day had three main purposes. First, it was designed to draw attention from God to the individual who fasted. Second, it was an obvious attempt to prove that repentance was genuine. And thirdly, fasting was often assumed. That is, it was not designed for one's own personal benefit, but rather to move God to save a nation from its problems. Now listen to what I'm saying now. If you really want to are serious about prayer, and you want to get a prayer through, maybe for this nation, because America is being judged every day. That's right. We're in a time of judgment because of the many sins from past days. And if we want to be admonished by Jesus, I'm going to tell you, every one of us, Jesus is telling us, and He's saying that we're never to put our things on parade. Our fasting may operate in a different manner. Because what is motivation for fasting? Why should we fast? What's the importance of being able to fast? Amen. I thank God. Why are we doing the fasting in the beginning? Amen. If you fast to be seen of men, to boast about it, to brag about it, the only reward that you will ever have is that you'll be seen of men and they will hear you boast and brag about it. But I'm going to tell you, every one of us, what we need to be doing with our rewards today is that legitimate fasting is somebody that goes out and begins to fast. And you know, there's a lot of different ways that you can do that, to know how to fast in the correct way. But let me tell you something. You say, fasting is not for me. But let me tell you what the Bible teaches on it. Fasting is a duty. Because He says, what did I read in verse 16? Moreover, when you fast. He didn't ask you if you wanted to fast. He said, when you fast. And so the Bible's teaching is fasting is a duty. But I wonder when the last time that a Christian fasted. I wonder, each and every one of us, you say, when's the last time you fasted? Just recently, matter of fact, because that's the only way that you can get a really good prayer through when you're praying. I have people that call me all the time. And you know what the secret to that is? Doing what the Bible says. You fast when you're praying. And I'm glad every believer is expected to fast. Christ said that when you fast, He expects every one of us to fast. Jesus Himself fasted, amen. Matthew 4:2. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward hungry. The apostles, they fasted. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, Matthew 9:15, Mark chapter 2, verse 20, Luke chapter 5, verse 35. How about this kind goeth out, not out, but by prayer and fasting, amen. Anna fasted in the Bible in Luke chapter 2, verse 37. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day, amen. Cornelius, the soldier, fasted. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, in Acts 10:30. Well, I want to tell you, the church leaders fasted in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Well, I thank God, each and every one of us, husbands and wives, are expected to fast as well. Defraud ye not, do not deprive one of the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. You know what? Every one of us, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Paul fasted often as well. In stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting, in pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. 2 Corinthians 6:5. Every one of us, fasting is a duty. Fasting is also to be done without notice. The believers to fast before God, not before men. And so I thank God. Every one of us, no one should even probably know when you're doing this, because this is something that's special. So fasting is a duty. It's to be done without notice. And fasting is to be to God alone, that when we do it, the believer is to fast to God alone. The object of his fast is he needs to meet God in a very special way. And in meeting God all alone, the believer is demonstrating his or her dependency upon God and His provision to do so, amen. And so I thank God, you know what? There's a lot of folks that's got their halos on too tight. But I thank God, fasting is the right way, and it has its reward as well, because God shall reward us openly. And how much greater is His reward than the recognition of men, amen? And so I thank God as I get ready to close out here tonight, amen. Each and every one of us, when we go through life, we all have something to offer. But I thank God, God wants to do the very best for all of us when we continue to go through life, amen. And so I hope and pray that you pay attention because many folks that you'll see out there, as we look at what the purpose for fasting is, in word, it is to bring us to God and to seek the face of God. The ministry of fasting, amen, as we look at it and begin to realize it, that fasting strengthens your prayer life, is one of the most main purposes for fasting. And today, as I said earlier, how many people have you heard of fasting? Hopefully they're doing what they should be. They're fasting in the privacy of their home and nobody really knows. The one thing that fasting will do is that it will strengthen your prayer life, amen. Ezra put it down in Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 and 23, about how powerful that fasting could be in our prayer life, amen. And when we fast and pray, we're giving notice to heaven that we're in earnest about it, amen. That's what it talks about. Joel chapter 2. Talked about that, amen, with weeping and with mourning, that he said. And one of the reasons that we pray is that our prayers are easily uttered, and then they're soon forgotten. Boy, I wonder how many people prayed this morning about something, and already they done forgot what it was. But I'm telling you, when we pray and when we fast, we're serious about it, amen. Put down what God says, as Jeremiah, he says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart, Jeremiah 29:13. Half-hearted religion is an abomination to God. Fasting shows that we're seeking God for all of His heart. And I thank God, each and every one of us. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. God says, when you come to me, Jeremiah, you and the people, when you come with fasting and prayer and all of your heart, you're going to be heard. And so I thank God as we look at the strengthening of what fasting does in all of our life. Amen. Andrew Murray said one time, and I quote, he said, fasting helps to express, to deepen, and to confirm the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, to sacrifice ourselves to obtain what we seek for the kingdom of God. And so we see that fasting strengthens our prayer life and it subdues self. Amen. I thank God. And so the very, very important thing is that every one of us realize that that this old flesh and this old fleshly nature, that what we do to give glory and honor to God, we're a slave to food. We're a slave to the refrigerator. We're a slave to the fast food things that are out there today. Amen. We pamper ourselves. Amen. But I thank God each and every one of us when we go through life today that it's so easy for us to forget God when we've got so many different things that we're supplied with. Every need is being met. So to speak, and say, I don't need God. I've got food on my table. I've got a nice home. I've got all of this. Amen. But I like what Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 14 says about that. He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, hast built godly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Boy, I'm going to tell you, each and every one of us, when we go through life today, it's easy to forget the many things. But fasting strengthens your prayer life. It subdues self, amen. And it holds back the judgment of God as well. And so I thank God, each and every one of us. America is being judged today. Jonah was able, when he went, he didn't even want to preach the message to the Ninevites. But when he did, they repented, they got in sackcloth, they began to fast, and God spared Nineveh, amen. He sent Jonah to stay 40 days, and he said, if after that, Nineveh will be destroyed. But I thank God the message was listened to, and they responded to it, praise God. When man repents of sin, God repents of judgment. And that's what we need in America today. That are some people that will pray with fasting and with prayer and stand in the gap for America right now today. And what's happening with trying to overturn the Roe versus Wade, with the voting that's coming up this coming Tuesday, fasting will strengthen your prayer life. Fasting will subdue self. Fasting holds back the judgment of God. Fasting stops and subdues your enemies that comes against you. Amen. I think of all of us that look at the passage of 2 Chronicles 20 where the good king Jehoshaphat saw a multitude that was coming against him. And I'm going to tell you, I ain't going to go into, I don't have time, but I'll tell you, in the Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he went in there and he began to fast. And all of a sudden, God took care of all of the enemies that come against Jehoshaphat. Listen, you want the enemies to be subdued that's coming against your family and your marriage? Listen, you begin to fast when you pray. And God will take care of those enemies that are coming against you, as well as the enemies that are coming against the nation of America today. I thank God, every one of us, as we look and realize that God can do some mighty things when we fast and when we pray together. Amen. And so we see that fasting brings wisdom and guidance as well. Parents, you want wisdom? You want guidance for your children? Don't leave out fasting when it comes to it. Now, let me tell you something. You might need to see a doctor. They might, folks, that can't fast. But maybe that'd be the only reason. But you can drink a little bit of water and not eat no bread for about an hour or so. And all of a sudden, you're doing something more than you've ever done for that hour, for that 30 minutes, or for however you want. Don't be aggressive with it and try to go all out for like a day or something like that. You don't need to do all of those things. The thing that you need to do is let the Lord know how serious you are about getting that prayer answered. Maybe it's a couple of hours, and all of a sudden you drink water, but you said, I'm not going to eat no bread. And all of a sudden, man, you're serious. You're letting God know how serious you are about getting that request answered, amen. The Holy Spirit can do a great work in our lives, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, when we look at the ministry of fasting and what it does, fasting strengthens your prayer life, amen. It subdues our self old fleshly nature. It holds back the judgment of God. It stops and subdues your enemies, amen. It brings wisdom and guidance, amen. It fasting will shatter strongholds that the devil is trying to bring upon you and your family and your home. I'll tell you, fasting, Isaiah 58, verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? That is Isaiah 58:6. And that's exactly what Scripture says. It will break the strongholds that try to come against you and the enemy and the demons of hell. I tell you, we have some people that are oppressed. There are people in congregations out there tonight who are bound with invisible bonds of fear and bitterness and resentment and habits and perversion and lust and pornography and all of the other things that the world has to offer that will not ever do any good for you whatsoever. Well, we're bound. We need to fast and pray to set the captives free, praise God. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look at our methods of being able to do that, amen. I thank God as we read our Bible and as we begin to get in, be sure that you're motivated for the right reason, because I thank God, be sure that you're motivated and you're doing it for the purpose of and that fast, not for nothing other than to be able to get that prayer through, praise God. Prayerfully choose your fast as well, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, don't be extreme in your fasting of what you're doing. A normal fast is doing that without food but drinking water, amen. And so some fast may be without water, but only for a short time and not for an extended period of time, because you're going to dehydrate. And so each and every one of us need to think these things through. Maybe you need to ask your doctor to be safe before you try to fast, amen. But I thank God, every one of us. Matthew 9:12 says, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. We need to be wise and take the doctor's advice, amen. And so avoid extremism. And so it's just simple that you can pray and ask God what he would have you to do about fasting if you have it done. I thank God as I close out now. Father, we pray in your name. We ask you to help us to bring our faith into focus. And we ask you, Lord, that we might pray with faith, Heavenly Father, with fervency through fasting. Now, Lord, that we speak the heart that you would have us to speak, Heavenly Father. And Lord, to do that, that would be pleasing to you, Father. Lord, we realize, Lord, that halos are maybe a figment of our imagination created by medieval artists. But Lord, there's many folks out there today that are putting on a show. And Lord, I pray that spiritual matters, Lord, that as we come together, may we do everything we do for the right reason, for the love of our marriage, for the love of our children, our homes, for the love of our church, Father. And Lord, I pray, God, that you will give us the boldness to go forth and, Lord, to pray and fast and to make a difference. And Lord, as we get down on our knees, to be serious about, Lord, bringing America back and bringing it into a revival that it needs in these latter times, before your church is raptured out in these latter times. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you again for tuning us in. May God bless you tonight. And don't forget that each and every one of you, that we can do a mighty deed if we'll just take the time to give to those that are in need, to pray in our time of privacy, and to fast with the Lord, knowing that we're serious about what we're asking him to do for us and across this nation of America today. May God bless you tonight. Thank you for tuning us in. May God bless you.